people on Earth is going to be human utopia. It's going to be beautiful. It sounds awfully good to me. Remember, you're still sitting there thinking from Satan's theory. And also here to the end, listen, it's just about ready to open. All right, the 1,000 years ends, okay? 1,000 years ends. Now what? Christ gathers all of us together now as his sons up in heaven. And this is, of course, you know, what I say. This is the first time, although this is true, this is the first time we're able to watch evil happen. And the first time we're going to be able to see Satan work through God's eyes. So, we know that after the 1,000 years is finished, in Revelation 20, verse 7, it says that after the 1,000 years, after the 1,000 years has expired, Satan is going to be loosed a little season. You know, how much time? I don't know. It's a little season. It talks about in verse 8. I think I'll turn that real quick so I have this. It starts to talk about Gog and Magog there. And it starts talking about what Satan is going to do. Now remember, the world has just been in peace for 1,000 years. No one fighting, unwalled cities, prosperity, good times. All of a sudden, Satan's released. And what does he do? Right away. And Satan goes out of his prison and shall go, this is in Revelation 20, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. He's going to deceive the whole world again. This is that seventh head of the beast. This is when he comes as that ruling, world-ruling dictator again. Okay? It says Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You can't number this. He gets everybody. And Jerusalem also. You know, they're ready to make war as well. It says, and when they went up, the breadth of the earth encompassed the camp of the saints. You look that up, it's in the barracks. Of course, God is also going to be encamped around there. Christ is with all of the first fruits. That's where they're going to be coming here too. But Jerusalem fights as well. Everyone on earth is fighting. They're all fighting. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. Is when Satan gets the entire world deceived again. We're watching this, remember. We've never seen this evil work like this. You know, we will be God's. We will be his children. And we're going to be able to witness this. This is Armageddon. This is when they come. And this is the one time, not three times, this is the one time Gog and Magog come up. Actually, God is calling Satan Gog from the land of Magog, which is talking about the whole earth and taking it from the four quarters of the earth. This is another name that God gives on Satan for that seventh head. You can read about that in Ezekiel 38, starting in verse 2. It says, the Son of Man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog. Verse 8, it talks about the latter years. It tells you the latter years is way after that 1,000 years. This is when the Armageddon comes, the day of the Lord comes. Later day with many people. In verse 10, it tells you, this is when this evil thought comes into their minds. See, they didn't have evil thoughts before. So in Ezekiel 38, verse 10, it says, this is when this evil thought comes, because Satan is back on the scene. And then they go, it says, oh, we'll go up to those unwalled cities. They were peaceful. But Satan's going to rip them up again. As Satan with the demons are doing this, and they're making all men fight against Jerusalem and each other, they take the city, and they take the spoil. Remember, you sing about it in church all the time. They took the city, they take the spoil. They took Jerusalem, and that's what they do. And as I always like to say, Christ tells us sitting on the bleachers, oh, freeze frame, stop, wait a minute. He turns to all of us and says, now did you get that? Did you see what happened? We had a beautiful world down there, and we let Satan go, and it turned the whole world into fighting again. That's when all those 10 nations got together, gave their power to this beast. And they all fought. They all wanted to kill one another. Satan couldn't get the first fruits anymore, so he wanted to destroy Jerusalem, where all of God's good things happen. And it symbolizes God. And Christ turns to all of us, the 144,000, and says, did you get that? Don't ever forget that for all eternity, what evil this thing is and how he has hurt the children of God. Then he says, climb up on those white horses and let's go down there and make an end to all of this and an end to Satan forever, at least for time being. So now, when Christ and the people, all the first fruits, rather, come with those white horses to come down to destroy Satan, this is when the seven angels pour out the seven last vials. And they pour them out very quickly. That's talked about in Revelation 16. It's bang, 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 one on top of the other. And if you read those, it's utter destruction. It's utter destruction. And Christ comes with his saints. He comes on those white horses with fire and brimstone. And then he pours out that seventh vial. And that's that vial to the entire air, to everything. And it talks about this time in 2 Peter 3. It talks about that fervent heat and those mountains melting away. But then the angel says, as we pour that out, he says, it is done. Now what's happened? All men, all mankind, it says, is going to die once. And we've showed you that Satan and the demons are going to die once. But at this time, all life is dead. All demons and Satan are dead. All are in the dust of the earth. That's what he says. Everyone's dead. Everyone died once. There is no 100-year period. There is no 100-year period. There never needed to be an opportunity for people to choose. This is God's plan. You didn't choose. He drew you. He brought you. We've gone through that. There is no third resurrection. How stupid. You can't even find it in the Bible. We all believed it, didn't we? Those were those satanic lies trying to mess up the waters so Satan couldn't be revealed. So everything is dead. It's gone. Now it's done. It's over. Everything's done. Now what happens? You read about in Daniel 12. For lack of time, I'm going to have to just paraphrase this. In Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, talks about Michael standing up for the people. And talks about everyone written in the book of life. All human beings, talks about. And then in verse 2, it says that they are all in the dust of the earth. But the dust of the earth shall awake. And two things happen, two groups. One group to everlasting life, and the other to everlasting shame and contempt. Remember, we have humans and Satan and his demons all being resurrected out of the earth. I wonder who's going to be going to that everlasting shame and contempt. Huh? Well, let's see. This is the great last day. This last day of the feast. Remember? This is the day we never knew anything about except the name and the day to keep it. We knew nothing about it. This is the great revelation of God. This is the great last day, and it's the culmination of his whole plan. This is God's last feast day in his timing, and a great one it truly is. Now, send in send in for the three-part sermon about Christ's second coming. Send in for that. And you'll find out how many times Christ comes and how the definitions roll out. It's very interesting. Get that. This is Christ's real second coming, the coming that we have in our minds. This is when every eye will see Him. This is when those Romans are going to come up out of the ground and see Jesus Christ. This is going to be at this time of this great white throne. This is what they're going to see when they come up. And the new heavens and the new earth all around them. This is the second resurrection. There's some period of time, whatever, between that Armageddon and God killing everything. It may be very quick, maybe long, we don't know. But the next thing that happens is this second resurrection. This second coming of Jesus Christ, coming in glory, when all of His enemies will be put down. There's none left, are there? There's no enemies left. So God said, get those tapes on the holy days. Now all people, everyone who has ever lived, all human beings are going to be resurrected in this second resurrection to human life. Human life. I know that's shocking, but it's going to be human life. This really is in Revelation 7, verse 9, this really is the great multitude. This is what it's talking about. This is that great harvest, the great multitude. No man could number. They all come up in white robes, palms in their hands. They all came out of great tribulation. Not a period of 3.5 years, but of great tribulation of Satan ruling on this earth. His way of life on this earth. That's what they've come out of. This is what mankind has come out of. Great tribulation. Satan's world. This is the great harvest. All kindreds and people. Can't number them. There will be no more hunger and thirst at this point. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is a loving God. This is the new heavens and the new earth. But we do have this judgment period. So this is this white throne judgment. We know that's going to happen. Now what's going to happen? Christ is sitting there on that white throne. And here we have all the human beings. Now remember, all the satanic beings, Satan and all of his demons, they were resurrected too. In what form and how he does this, I don't know. But he says that they're there. They all stand. Everyone stands before God and Christ in that white throne. Now how are they going to be judged? How are they going to be judged? We read that in Revelation 20. See, I don't want to use that if I'm using it later. We'll just use it right now. You can at least refer to it. In Revelation 20, starting in verse 11 through 15, it says that they're all been brought up. Okay? And he talks about the great white throne and that the earth and the heaven had fled away, the old one. In verse 12, he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now, what are these books? These are the books of the Bible. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's a book of life way back from Moses and all that time, when every human being that's ever lived has their name written in that book. It's a record of mankind. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now God, Christ, is going to read from those books. How do all the people that now have just come up in the second resurrection, how do they know what's going on? They obviously know this is God, this is Christ, this is, we've been resurrected. You know, they know that. And so they're listening. No one's talking, they're listening. They have nothing to say. Would you? No, of course not. So now they start to listen, and Christ starts to read out of the books of the Bible. He starts reading the Ten Commandments. He starts reading the law. He starts reading the statutes and the judgments. This is what he is going to judge on. So he reads out of the law. Now all the people standing there in these white robes, they all hear this, don't they? This is how God writes his laws within their minds and their hearts. They're a witness to this. So when they read about the Sabbath, oh, he says we're supposed to rest the seventh day and we're going to do that. Okay, well, we'll be doing that. We'll find out about it a little bit later, the details, but we certainly are going to rest on the seventh day. The Father is saying it. There's no choice. There's no satanic nature. So all the people will hear the law of God, and they will hear the very mind and the way of life of God. Satan and the demons, they do not have Christ's blood covering them. They have no sacrifice for the sin. They committed the sin. They must die. The murderer must die to cleanse the land. Remember? All mankind, we're going to recap this in a moment. And we're going to read some scriptures on this. But basically what's going to happen is all mankind, human people, are going to come into the kingdom of God. And they are going to come into that kingdom and they're going to live forever. Remember it says, of the increase of my government, that family, there shall be no end. It's going to continue to increase. Human beings, think of that. Human beings living in the kingdom of God forever. We'll explain that. Man has died once, hasn't he? Satan died. But Satan and his demons, it says, remember those other scriptures we read a couple of weeks ago? It says, twice dead. These demons are twice dead. They're brute beasts to be destroyed. They are this hell and death. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Mankind never sees the second death. Satan will see the second death. There is no return from that. The smoke goes up forever and ever, never to come back. He's not going to run away someplace and then maybe to return at a later date. He's dead, out, gone, finished. Him and all of his demons. Remember when we read about the seven heads? It says, he is the eighth of the seven. See, the seven heads were finally killed. They're finally put down in the earth. Well, what happens? God resurrects him again. And he becomes the eighth. But he is of that seven, isn't he? And it's that eighth that goes into hell. It's just a picture there. And that's what it's talking about. He came out of the seven. He wants everyone to know exactly who he's talking about. Not man, but this beast. This satanic thing. All of mankind will live forever. Everyone that you know will live forever. All of God's children. Every one of your fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, your children, your aunts, your uncles, everyone you know is going to live forever. This is a God of love, and this is a God of worship, isn't he? What a plan! Brethren, all people are going to live in joy and happiness with the Father forever. What could be worse? Do you still want to throw in this third resurrection so we can raise them up again and throw their bones into hell? Or do you like God's plan? The real plan that he has for us forever. All religions, everybody, all human beings, we have all been, every one of us, deceived by Satan within the church and within the religions of the world and mankind in general. This is his world. He is the God. What else would he be doing out there but trying to pervert the truth? He has tried to cover up himself so we couldn't see him, and we didn't see him. We didn't even see him sitting in the church. That's how well he covered up. That's how well his deception went and how deep it went. But now is the time, at the end here, that God has revealed so that we can expose this wretch for what he is. And then he's going to die and his evil will be gone finally. Now we will look at the great last day in a moment in a little better detail. Give you a couple more scriptures on it. And we are going to run a little long here. I'll just have to buy a longer tape. That's all. But we have to get this in. I told you at the beginning. Now you've heard the plan of God all the way through. And we'll recap that very quickly. But you heard the bottom line. And the bottom line is it's good. All human beings with God forever. Their families continue to grow forever. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be a spirit being to have it nice. God set aside 144,000 first fruits to come back with Jesus Christ and to be with the Father. All the rest are human beings and will live forever. And we'll show you how that happens in a moment. But I told you way back in lesson number one, we sent out three lessons to the church. Some of you may have gotten those. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, please send in for those three lessons. But I told you at first that I thought I'd have to reveal my name by the third lesson because of the pressures that were going on in the church. And as soon as we sent it out, they even announced it right from the podium. Said, oh, go ahead and read it. It's okay. So all the pressure was taken off. Worldwide had really changed a lot by then. So I felt that I would reveal my name now. I wanted you to hear the true plan of salvation. I wanted you to hear the bottom line, that this all does work out good. There is nothing bad or evil about this. This is the best that there can be. And I wanted to tell you that. You know, no one else is or will tell you this truth. They are not God's servants. They're not. There are not all kinds of so-called churches of God. There are only two right now, the Philadelphians and the Laodiceans. That's it. Isn't all these groups out there voting and everything else? What kind of stupidity is that? You all have been taught better than that. It's time that the Holy Spirit wakes up your minds now. So you can come home. No man has taught me this. No man has. And none of you listening to the tapes or here has ever heard this and has ever understood it. Why didn't you understand it? Didn't your study bring this to you? No. And my study didn't bring it to me either. God taught me this. No man taught me this. It didn't come from studying. All of this was revealed from God. That's the way that it has happened. The words that I have given you, they come from the Father in heaven. This is revealed knowledge of the plan of God. This is not my plan. I believe just like you did. That counterfeit. I didn't know any better either. I have been in God's church now for over 42 years. That's a long time, brethren. I grew up in this. God does not use a novice. You want to know my name? I'll tell you my name. My name is Robert Rowanspies, and we come out of the Chicago area. And I am not ashamed at all of what God has done with this work and the revelations that he has given. You should, if you have God's Spirit and you're a Philadelphian, begin to understand that this could not possibly have come from a man. And it didn't come from me. Our name, the Rowanspies name, is very well known in God's church. may be interested to know that my father was the first non-employed local elder ever ordained in God's church. And it's because of his works and some of the other men who were ordained early on that Mr. Armstrong continued to okay local elders being in the church. That's why we have them today, because they needed more help out in the local churches. My dad has served as a college trustee for Herbert W. Armstrong for many years, and also for Joe DeCotch Sr. for many years, until, as you know, in the last number of years, it has just gotten too bad to be associated there. And so he had to resign for that. And he did have some health considerations as well to do that. But we have been a loyal family in God's worldwide church. My brother has served in the ministry for many years out there. I attended Ambassador College in Brickenwood, England in the middle 60s. So I have a very good training by God's college and also now directly by God. God never did forsake you, brethren. When all these things happened with the Laodicean church, he never forsook you. He was revealing his message and training his servant all that time. Now, you didn't know that, but hopefully you begin to understand that now. If you don't like that I am God's servant, well, you take that up with him. You go argue that with Jesus Christ. You know, I tried to run away. Believe me, I did. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I kept running. He kept bringing me back. You know, you just can't fight God. No man taught me these things. God anointed and ordained this thing by his hand and by his word. And these are the very words of spirit and life. And you'll find that out. This is not by man. He didn't ask you to do this, did he? He didn't ask any of you, and he didn't ask all those so-called leaders out there to do it either. He just went ahead and did it, and he did it his way. Just like he picked King David, the little scrawny little kid, the end of the brothers. No one else would pick. That's the one God was preparing, and God has always done that. I do want to let you know that when you do send in for all of these tapes that we have announced here through these three sermons, you know, please remember that it costs money to make these things and to ship these things and to mail them. You know, please do your part. You know, we can only send them out as we are financially able. You know, that's what First Tithe is for. And you are hearing this right now because of very faithful brethren that are in the congregation. It's the only way you got to hear it. So remember that. You know, you are part of the first fruits, and there are obligations to God to do this. So let's continue now. Now that you know who I am, you can all be offended, right? Well, I hope not. If you take the time to get to know me, I don't bite, you know, and I'm not that bad of a guy. I probably will offend people like everyone else in the world offends people, but I certainly purposely won't do that. But now let's look a little deeper into this great last day. Let's get the full meaning of this and really see it. This judgment day, I kind of read over that kind of quickly about Satan and the people and about him being thrown into the lake of fire. But I did that for a purpose. God's judgment day, he tells us exactly what was going to happen on that day. He gives us a vision of exactly what will happen on that day. Turn over to Matthew 25. You didn't know this. You didn't know this applied here, did you? Of course not. Neither did I. This is talking about the great white throne judgment. This is what it's talking about. Here's his vision right in front of us. This is tremendous. He's telling us and showing us a picture of exactly what's going to happen on that day. He's going to show you his mind and his purpose and why he did it this way. starting in verse 31. These are parables. We're busting in here to the third parable in this chapter. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. This is Christ's second coming. True second coming. Way at the end. Where He comes to the whole world. When He comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. This is when He sits on that throne of glory. And there's many studies talking about that. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now, here's the big trial. Okay, He's already read the books of the Bible. He already read that. Here is this huge trial He's going to put on man. Men are the sheep. The sheep are always the people. That's the people. This is God's sheep, God's children. The goats are all Satan and his demons. So, verse 34, here's the big judgment. Here it is on, not a lot of discussion, not people coming up and they're going over somebody's sins. Remember, they already died. They got the Satan, they got the bad things out of them. They're resurrected, standing in front of God. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, all the sheep, no discussion, this is the judgment of God. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Brethren, there never was a time when mankind could lose out. But there was a plan of God, and God did it for a purpose. And that'll all come later as you learn and hear more of the sermons. You'll learn what that purpose is and why He did it that way. But this was His judgment. This is on the great white throne. All of you people, come on in. All you on the right, come into the kingdom. Be with us forever. There's no judgment on them. Just come in. Now we get to the other part. Now we've got Satan and the demon standing there. Now everyone's watching. Verse 41. Then shall he say, not a lot of discussion, then shall he say also unto them on the left, the goats, the demons, Satan, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Can it be any clearer, brethren? They are the ones to die. They are the ones to die. Thank God for that. You know, he goes on, he says, you know, you didn't take care of the people. You didn't do anything. You were made to be ministering angels and servants to the people. And you didn't do it. They couldn't do it. They were made evil, as we know. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's where Satan goes. But the righteous, who are the righteous standing there? They're the ones righteous by the blood of Christ. All mankind, this great harvest, has God's Spirit now. They're there in the kingdom. No more is Satan's nature. They're righteous, and God made them righteous, didn't He? Not them. God did it. Thank God for Him. But the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. All of mankind. All of mankind. There's no more satanic computer chip in them. They're covered by the blood. And they come into life eternal. And they live forever. They live forever. Brethren, turn back to Revelation 21, verse 1. Start to read about this. We've been talking about it. Let's quickly read. Starting in verse 1. This is what they're coming into. The judgment's happened. Now it's here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's white and clean and pure, and everyone's watching this. John's in this vision, he's seeing this happening. And he says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Man. Now this time it's not an angel, it's man. It's with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their guide. Our God, thinking two things at once here. He will be their God forever. May hold your finger there. I'm going to flip over here to Ezekiel. All these scriptures, I'm going to give you a key. All this in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. Most all of this, wherever we looked and thought it was the millennium, it wasn't the millennium he's talking about. It was the great last day. It was this kingdom. And you read through this, and you're going to find out he's talking about the great last day. In chapter 37, verse 26, here we thought it was millennium. It's not. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. This is the great last day. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. It goes on forever. And I will place them and multiply them. He's going to multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. That's what you just read. The tabernacle of God is going to come down in the midst of them. My tabernacle also shall be with them. See, here it is. Yes, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it talks about forevermore. This is what's going to happen. Brethren, it's real. It's real. Now, what about King David? You know, I told you, he was not a first fruit. Now, did God just leave King David and Abraham and Moses and all these guys out to just put them to pasture? No, he used them before and he's going to use them again. What about King David? He's not a first fruit. He's a human being. Well, look up here in verse 24 of Ezekiel 37. Even starting the last sentence there of verse 23, it says, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Same period of time. And David, my servant. Not a first fruit, but he's still his servant. David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they that dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, all of these that he promised the Father, he's going to give all that land back. They shall dwell there with their children and their children's children forever. It's forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Brethren, it is a tremendous and wonderful time that God has in store for all of us and in store for the human beings forever. He says in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you art my people. He's doing it all. Something for comfort, Isaiah 54, verse 7 and 8. It says, for a small moment. See, during Satan's rule down here, for a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. He hasn't forgotten his children. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercies on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. You know, that is who God is and what he is doing. Back in Revelation 21. We'll pretty much stay there now and finish this. Brethren, it's all here. It's a vision none of us ever saw before. Satan covered it up. He used his counterfeit. Revelation 21 verse 4 going on to all these people. He's going to be their God too. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Brethren, just think, no more pain. What have you lived with all your life? No more. No more. It's gone. Human beings and us will live in the glory of God forever. He says there will be no more tears. And if you look back, I believe it's in Revelation 7, where he's talking about the great multitude. He talks about that's the period of time. He says, there'll be no more tears. I'll wipe away those tears. This is the time. Right here. In verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne, behold, I will make all things new. See, this is going to be all new. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the river of life freely. No contingencies. You do this, I'll do this. No, no. I am doing this for you. Because I love you and always have. You might jot down in John 7, verse 37. This is when Jesus Christ, it says, he stood up on the last great day of the feast. This is what this pictures. This is what Christ was saying that the great last day pictures. And he says, come all that are thirst and drink. Let him come. Isn't that what he's saying here? About the great last day. The great last day that goes on forever. Did you think we're going to throw away the Ten Commandments? You know? No. They're humans. They're going to keep it forever. And they're going to keep it because it's a way of life. Each one of these days means something. And it's going to be held annually for the glory of God. Every one of them. Talks here in verse 7 about back in Revelation 21. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. That's the first fruits. Who overcame? We overcame. How? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God overcame Satan and sealed us. And we have, at that point, inherited all things. All things. And I will be his God. See, he's going to be our God. And he shall be my son. We are going to be his very sons and daughters. But we will be his sons forever. And he talks about in verse 8 there that Satan, he's actually talking about Satan, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, all those things, all the things that do evil, they are burned in the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We know those are the ones who went there. Verse 22, John looked around in his vision. I want to see the temple because that's where the Father is. I want to see that. And he says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And we are going to be the pillars of that temple, brethren. the first fruits. There's actually going to be two Jerusalems here, that spirit one and a physical one, where King David will be that king. And he will offer sacrifices for himself and the people, but not sacrifices because of some sin going on, sacrifices out of joy and honor to the Father. You'll hear all about that in all those seven Holy Day tapes. You'll hear more about that. Okay, then starting in chapter 22 here, this goes back to the human beings. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the tree, or in the midst of the, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, this goes back to the Garden of Eden where it all started, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Brethren, that's that tree of life that all humans will eat off of. And it'll make your human body live forever if you're a human being at that time. This body was created to live forever. Why shouldn't it? Power of God's behind it. He created it. Whatever is in that tree, as we explained, gives something in the mind, whatever it is, some juice, whatever, and it allows that body never to age and continues to live on. With all of your children, with all of your family, in peace and harmony this time, not the way it is this time. It'll be better that time. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. And this curse, as you will find out, is this really the seven seals. It's the flying roll. It's in Zechariah 5:1. These were these curse, this curse that was on the whole earth. This was Satan's rule on the earth. There will be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. And now this is where Revelation 5 is talking about. Was it Revelation 5:10, I think? This is where it was talking about. And there shall be no light there, and there shall be no need of candle, neither light nor sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they, us, the first fruits, shall reign forever and ever, right here on this earth. Did God lie? No. Did Satan lie about God's scriptures? Yes, and he made us believe it. He took this tremendous plan of God and messed it all up, didn't he? So we couldn't see it. We couldn't see the true glory of God. We really couldn't. This is the true and holy plan of salvation that God, your loving Father, has for all of his children. Christ came and he saved the world. Satan will be destroyed. This is the plan Satan never wanted mankind to hear. He wanted to keep you in fear religion. He wanted to keep you in bondage your whole lifetime. Hebrews 2:14. This is what he wanted you to hear, was his counterfeit. But God now wants you to hear this, what we've just been going through. By God's Spirit and power, we will reveal Satan to mankind. That's what our job is, to gather the Philadelphian first fruits, to make them ready, prepare them for that, as a bride for that wedding, with this knowledge. The man of sin is now revealed to God's church. And later, it's going to be revealed to the whole world so they can see Satan for what he is. Why do we call this the light? Because Christ is the light. He is the light, and he's the light of our lives. When we were sealed with that Holy Spirit, you see, what did Christ do for us? What did he do for us? What did Jesus Christ do for us when he sealed us? Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. This should have some meaning for you now. He's talking to the first fruits. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, better translated, a purchased people, purchased with the very blood of Christ, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why do we call this the light? Because that's where he's brought us, brethren. This is a plan of salvation that is truly worthy of our Father in heaven. That all of his children are going to be there. Listen to this album a number of times. Send in for those sermons that go along with these different subjects, and they talk about them and speak about them in detail with all the scriptures backing it up. Enjoy this. Enjoy this. And have peace for the first time in your life. Brethren, it's time to come home. God has prepared a place for you. And he never forsook you. And he never just let you out there. He always had you covered, but he did have his plan to work out. It's time to come home. God's church, his servant, his message, and his spirit are here. And we're waiting for you. And we welcome you. So, brethren, I hope you enjoy this. Remember, this is an overview. Remember that you must hear, read some of the other articles, hear some of the other sermons, and study this out in your own Bible. Let us walk you through this. You can always go back to what you were doing. You want to go back to that? You want to go back with no hope? Or do you want to be where God has his spirit, where he has his message, where he is working, where it gives you eternal salvation for all mankind, and Satan dies forever? I think that's a very good plan and a better plan, because after all, it is our Father's plan. So enjoy this. Have peace in your life. And brethren, come home and be prepared for Jesus Christ.